for the Athletic Podcast Network. This is The Update. I'm Adam Copeland. On today's show, we'll talk to Charlie Walter, sports reporter from CBS in Sacramento, who used to cover the Cincinnati Bearcats and the Kentucky Wildcats, about the upcoming NBA draft that gets underway on Thursday night. Lots of speculation about whether or not the Warriors will make their selections at number 7 and 14, or the rumors this week that they could trade those picks, as well as a package that includes maybe Andrew Wiggins and possibly James Wiseman, to the Washington Wizards for Bradley Beal. But it all is up to Bradley Beal as to whether or not he wants to head out of Washington, D.C. All things we can talk to Charlie Walter about, who joins me next. Today is Wednesday, July 28th. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the podcast Charlie Walter. You see him on CBS doing sports reporting out in Sacramento. Also formerly covered some of the Kentucky Wildcats, big Cincinnati Bearcats guy. A great dude to talk college basketball with as we get ready for the NBA draft. And Charlie, I know you've been focused primarily on the Sacramento Kings for the last couple of months. What are they saying about the Kings out there in Sac? Who do they want? Is it a pipe dream for them yet again where they're saying, trade one of these draft picks and go get us a Ben Simmons? How are the Sacramento Kings feeling? And then we'll get into some of these Warriors, Charlie. How are you, man?
I'll get to that in a second, but I do have to respond to the introduction. I'm not the greatest person to talk to this year. Cincinnati Bearcats have no one being drafted. They haven't in a while. And then the Kentucky Wildcats, I don't think they have anyone that's going to pan out in this draft either. But I do know my college basketball, so thank you for the introduction. And then as for the Sacramento Kings, I think it starts with Ben Simmons, because I do think that if you can keep De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton and get rid of a core of Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley in the ninth pick, and then maybe a pick next year, I think Simmons would fit in really well. I guess we'll have to see what the trade market's like when we get a little bit closer and whether the Sixers would buy this. But I think that's best case scenario. If not, I think if there's no trade on the market, you go with Moses Moody if he's available. I think lately, Copes, I went from being a guy that loves ceilings to now I just love who has the highest floor. Who is not going to be bad by any means in the NBA? And I think that's Moses Moody in this draft around that pick. I think regardless of, you know, what he may give you, I think he's going to be a guy that gives you 12-6 for a long time in the NBA at the very least.
Yeah, Moses Moody, I mean, the Sacramento Kings picking number 8 right behind the Golden State Warriors. I don't believe that's a player the Warriors are looking at. They did, of course, there's a lot of rumors they could be going after Jonathan Kuminga, G League Ignite player, 18 years old. This is a pick they got, of course, from the Minnesota Timberwolves. But you're talking about low floors or high floors versus high ceilings for guys. And I think for the most part, people look at this draft from the outside in and say, it's a top-heavy draft. Everybody focused on number one, Cade Cunningham going number one. People are looking at Jalen Green, Evan Mobley after that. Maybe Jalen Suggs to the Raptors in there at number four. Who for you is a guy that maybe fits the Warriors roster that has that high floor you're talking about? Because high floor is a big deal right now. You can't have a player come into this Warrior roster that has playoff and championship aspirations and not be ready to make an impact immediately. I don't know that they could afford another player that was as raw as James Wiseman last year. What do you think about Jonathan Kuminga at number 7 potentially as a high floor guy?
Well, I do like that just because of positional needs. I think the Warriors do need to go after a big and fix some of their anemic rebounding woes from last year. But I like James Booknight. I think Booknight's a guy that he's only going to get better as his jump shot improves. He's been impressing a lot of the scouts in these pre-draft workouts. He was great at UConn. I mean, he put up 18-5 and a few assists. I mean, anemic shooter. He's got to figure that out. He's one of those guys that impresses you in every aspect of the game, but the ball just never seems to go in, but he's still putting up 18 a night. But I like Booknight with his size. He's still young. Clearly the dogs in the background like the pick too. Booknight, he's my guy. I think he would fit in pretty well with the Warriors.
Yeah, a lot of people have Booknight going number 6. And again, this is not a perfect science. Who knows what happens with draft trades?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, on trade night. Who knows what goes down with this? But you're looking at Moses Moody. This is good. We're right around 7, 8, 9. Franz Wagner out of Michigan. He's a guy who they think could go down near number 9. The number 14 pick is the really weird one. What do you think about those, like, the end of the lottery draft selections, man? I've always felt like, and this has sort of been the way of the NBA for the last 20 years or so, that if you're picking, like, in the middle of the lottery or the back end of the lottery, middle of the draft, number 13, 14, somewhere in there, you oftentimes are just kind of throwing a dart and hoping you get a role player. Do you think that there's good value in this draft down there around 13, 14? Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte out of Oregon, maybe Trey Murphy out of Virginia, all guys the Warriors have worked out?
Here's what I think. I think there are some picks there that are definitely intriguing. I think if you're looking to stockpile someone for the future, if Kai Jones is available, he's an interesting prospect because you watch his tape. I mean, sure, he wasn't even dominating Abilene Christian, so it may take him some time before he's stacking up against some of these veterans in the NBA. But you watch his tape, and he's got a lot of Giannis-like tendencies. I mean, he's long, a very, very, very poor man's Giannis. I mean, let's not jump ahead of ourselves here. But he does have a ton of talent. I like stashing him away for a few years if you can get someone with that seventh pick that's maybe a little more NBA-ready. But another guy I really like, Miles McBride. I'm biased. I've known him forever. But he's a guy that can defend. Really good prospect, I think, that's climbing ahead in the board. And then if Jalen Johnson's there, I think he's a guy that has a very high ceiling. I know that some people question his character for quitting on a team during a pandemic. That doesn't bother me at all. He's a guy that has size, a lot of ability. And if Jalen Johnson's there, maybe you go with him and say, all right, this is a guy that could maybe produce right away, or we stash him away in the G League for a year or two, and maybe he can come up and produce. I guess the question for me is going to come down to, are the Warriors even going to have these picks?
Right. And Jalen Johnson, of course, a freshman out of Duke. He's just 19 years old. I think what we're looking at here between the two picks, and Bob Myers the other day had made a comment saying, as of right now, we're leaning like on the side of making these selections, but it's just because nobody knows what's going to happen with Bradley Beal. Personally, I'd like to see them go get Bradley Beal. I think that's the sexier move. I think that move makes you a contender this year. I look at the Warriors roster made up right now, and I think, boy, you're basically going with like a second rookie season for James Wiseman. He's not going to be quite as raw when the year starts, but do you have the patience to run through a couple of 18, 19-year-olds and get them ready for the postseason? And then can they contribute in the postseason? Whereas if we're looking at a couple of the guys I was just talking about here for the Warriors at number 14, primarily is what I mean, is Davion Mitchell, a guy who's a junior, a little bit more experienced. Chris Duarte, a guy who's a senior, 24 years old, coming out of Oregon. Trey Murphy, 21-year-old. These guys are still young guys, obviously still rookies, but they could make a more immediate impact. However, whoever you pick at number 7, probably a little bit younger. So how do you weigh that as far as the Warriors being a contender this year, potentially with guys who are very young versus going and getting a Bradley Beal? Do you look at Bradley Beal as outweighing any of these picks?
Well, here's my issue. I think that if there were two clear-cut bigs, because I don't think it's any question right now that the Warriors need some bigs, right? Yeah, right. They need some size down low. I think that there are two guys that you could get at 7 and 14 that it's like, all right, these are sure bets, then you absolutely go for them. But you look around, everyone you mentioned is a guard. You know, everyone you mentioned is not who you necessarily need right now to win a championship. So if you don't see a forward in there, and they know better than I do, but if you don't think Ty Jones is going to produce, if you don't think Garuba is going to produce, if you don't think any of these guys that are Sengun, any of these guys that are potentially available at 7 or 14 are going to produce right away, then why not go after another score, run that four-guard offense or you know, three-guard with Draymond playing the hybrid, and then let it ride. I mean, that's three pretty damn good scores. I think that's the move. If the Wizards are willing to sell, and especially if it gets leaked that Beal wants out 100%, then I think you could get a nice deal.
It all goes down Thursday night, the NBA draft. You know what's funny about the Bradley Beal situation is everybody who I've talked to over the last couple of weeks keeps saying basically it's up to Bradley Beal. If he wants to leave and if he's happy with going to the Golden State Warriors, the Wizards would probably try to make a move that accommodates that because they could get some pieces back. You'd probably have to give up Andrew Wiggins and you may have to give up 7 and 14. Oh, yeah. I don't know that you would, in addition, give up James Wiseman. I think that would probably be too much. There's also the free agent market you could dip into. But the funny thing for me is, like, if Bradley Beal's standing there and they're talking to him about sticking around, and there have been rumors already that maybe Russell Westbrook can be involved in a three-team trade yet again sometime this offseason. I guess my question is, why would he want to stay in Washington? What more is he going to accomplish there? Championships aren't coming to D.C.
He can't do anything there any more than what he's done. I mean, he puts up 30 points a game. He's proved to be an elite scorer that I think would come into Golden State and right away help this team win a championship. My question is, I guess you can. In the NBA nowadays, you can win a championship with three guys that all have similar skill sets and that can just flat out score the basketball. I would like to see the Warriors, you know, somewhat boost up their interior, but they're not going to do it through this draft, I don't think, with the picks they have. So, I mean, if you can go out and get Bradley Beal and try to outshoot and outscore teams, I say you go for it. I mean, I'm just looking at this draft right now, and there's just so many question marks. That's why it's such a fun night. Because you really have no idea where. I mean, you look at pick number 21. That's in a mock draft right now. The Knicks taking Isaiah Jackson. He's got, you know, one of the highest ceilings in this draft. we could never hear his name again after that night. Yeah. You know, so that's why it's fun.
That's the way it goes down in the NBA draft. Give me one guy you're really excited about. Maybe it is Isaiah Jackson, but give me one guy that you're really excited about who maybe people aren't talking a ton about, and one of those guys who you think maybe has a high floor, who won't be a highly touted name on draft night, but could be ending up as a name that we pay attention to for a number of years.
It's not Isaiah Jackson. I don't think any of those Kentucky guys, BJ Boston, wherever he goes, I watched them all last year, and I was not extremely impressed. I think they have a long way to go. They have a lot of talent, but, you know, potential just means you haven't done anything yet. So we'll see. Jalen Johnson's one of the guys I really love watching his tape. And then I think Miles McBride. I think he's a steal, man. He's such a good defender. He's so quick, great with the ball in his hands. I really think he would fit the mold of an NBA point guard, a true NBA point guard. And I think Miles McBride, he keeps climbing up the draft boards. People thought he was coming back to West Virginia because he may not even get drafted in the first round. And now all of a sudden I'm looking at CBS's mock draft and I see him up as high as 17. So I think Miles McBride could be an absolute stud, a little bit of a late bloomer, but a stud in the NBA.
But again, you're biased, man. You knew him since kindergarten or something, right?
Hey, don't tell the listeners that. Yeah, no, I'm biased, but he's a competitor, man. He's a competitor. I like him a lot. And if I'm not going with Miles McBride, I'm with Cam Thomas. That's someone that no one's talking about. The freshman from LSU that scored 23 points a game. The best freshman that no one talked about. He scores 40 and 30 in his sleep. And he's you know, mid to late first round. I've heard that he has no defense whatsoever, which is definitely true based on watching him. But the way the NBA is going now and how it's a scoring-dominant league, someone scores 23 points a game as a freshman in the SEC, and you're not going to take a gamble on him in the top 20? Come on.
Isn't it funny now the SEC basketball, we do pay attention to that stuff. We're like, boy, they've kind of ratcheted up the last couple of years. South Carolina goes to a Final Four as like a 7 a couple of years ago. Like, the SEC all of a sudden is kind of a league to pay attention to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, I want to hit one more thing here. I know you're a big Cincinnati Reds guy. You often do pregame for them out in Cincinnati, and I've seen one name floated out this week. You are always sort of banging the Reds drum with me. But since the trade deadline comes up on Friday, I've seen them tied to Trevor Story. So the Yankees maybe picked up the phone and called on Story. Are the Reds in on Trevor Story right now?
No, I hope not. I think this is a team that needs to sell, and if they don't sell, they need to absolutely go after some bullpen help. The amount of games this year, Coach, I'm talking at least 15 to 20, where the Reds are up two runs in the seventh inning, and good teams, the San Francisco Giants, they would close that game. The Reds, it happened again a couple nights ago against the Chicago Cubs. They had a 5-3 lead in the eighth. They blew it. I mean, it's just what they do. I don't see how a shortstop helps them right now, especially an expensive shortstop that's going to cost them. Unless the Rockies are giving them away for a bag of baseballs like they did Arenado, I don't see why you go after Trevor Story here. If anything, I think unless you're going to sign Castellanos to a long-term deal next year, he needs to be out ASAP because you need to get some value for him, because this team's 7 games back, and if they don't bolster their bullpen, they are not going anywhere.
Maybe their logic is, hey, we can't out-pitch teams. Maybe we'll just keep scoring more and more runs and see if we can come over the top that way. But fun.
We're not a bad team. 4 games over 500. But at this point, 7 games back in July, I mean, unless they go on one of those 2007 Colorado Rockies runs, I think Milwaukee just has too much of a head start. I don't think Milwaukee's that much better than Cincinnati, but yeah, that's where I stand.
Great call on the 07 Rockies, man. We got to let you go, man. Thanks so much, Charlie. We'll catch up with you sometime after the draft, dude, and maybe after the deadline, too. We'll see where the Rockies are when we get to September 1st, man. Catch you later. Thanks so much.
Best wishes. Enjoy the draft, and enjoy this Giants run.
All right, great stuff from Charlie Walter. You follow him on Twitter at Charlie Walter TV. Of course, you can watch him out on CBS Sacramento. And so random, he does a pre and post game for the Cincinnati Reds out in Cincinnati. He's from back that way, and of course, used to cover the Cincinnati Bearcats and the Kentucky Wildcats. So a great college basketball mind, and fun to pick his brain about the draft. He can go deep on a lot of these players, and basketball, college basketball specifically, just hits different out in the Midwest. Man, you get out to SEC country, you get out to ACC country, the Atlantic Coast, of course, is big, but Charlie Walter, a good basketball mind, fun to pick his brain. Thank you to Brian, thank you to Charlie, and thank you to you, the listener. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever it is you're listening. We'll keep bringing you the best stories in Bay Area sports. Draft on Thursday night, Trade deadline Friday. We'll be covering all of that. Friday, we'll brush up on what happens with the Warriors in the draft on Thursday night. If they make a selection or if they trade those picks for Bradley Beal, or maybe there's something else they trade those picks for. Who knows? And then next week, we'll, of course, have a brush up on what happened with the San Francisco Giants on Friday's trade deadline. We're going to learn a little bit about Farhan Zaidi here and how he helps build a contender when he gets to the deadline and what pieces he thinks the team needs to add. All that is coming up in the days ahead. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy the trade deadline. We'll talk to you Friday.